Welcome back, everyone, to episode number 21 of Hot Takes Only, presented by the Hot Takes Network. We want to apologize for not putting out an episode last week. We had to deal with some technical problems with our recording platform. We ended up recording what I thought was a pretty solid episode. And, unfortunately, once I got home to edit it, the soundtrack had disappeared from our library. But disappointing for sure. I think it would have been another profitable weekend for the podcast. But we are back with week four of NFL action, as well as week five of college ball. How are you, Alex?
Good. It's weird. Football season is like 25% over almost, which is crazy.
But disappointing, but still plenty more football to be played.
Lots of football to be played.
Just electric stuff, yeah. We're recording this on Thursday night, and I always love Thursday night because you had to go through the 2 days of dry spell,
yep.
The Tuesday and the Wednesday before, football is finally back for the rest of the week. So we've made it. We've made it another week, and now we get to enjoy football for another 5 days.
5 days.
Pretty much.
Electric. As soon as we're done recording this, we watch the Thursday night game.
Very nice. Beautiful.
Unbelievable stuff.
Beautiful. So we've each got three lines ranging from, a lot of college, a lot of NFL this week. Going to flip it over to you, Alex. Your first line of the week that you like.
Sounds good. I like Clemson minus 27 against Carolina. Clemson, a wagon, an absolute wagon. And Carolina, good start to the season, but not in the same hemisphere as Clemson.
Should probably specify for people who aren't as into it as we are. This is North Carolina we're talking about.
Oh, sorry. I thought I said North Carolina at the beginning. My bad. They lost to App State last week, Appalachian State, tough one. And they lost to Wake Forest the first week after back-to-back wins against South Carolina and Miami. Season was looking good. I still think that they're probably, in their eyes, like ahead of where they expected to be with them, like rebuilding under Mac Brown and with the quarterback as well, whose name is slipping my mind right now, the freshman. But they're still like many. They're never going to be on the same level as Clemson, but right now especially. 27 points seems like a lot, but four touchdowns to me is actually not that many for Clemson. So we'll see what happens. Game's in North Carolina, so they have that going for them. But this Clemson team is just going to kind of walk into the playoff. It's not really going to be too much of a struggle, I don't think.
Yeah, like you said, just an absolute wagon. The scary part is they're absolutely crushing teams, and I'm still not convinced we've actually seen the best Trevor Lawrence that we really should be seeing, as well as Travis Etienne, who's really sort of fallen off from that awesome season opener that he had against G-Tech. So I like the pick. This is probably a week that they figure it out. He had a good conference matchup. Hopefully Lawrence, can pull it off. Four touchdowns, always scary. You get the risk at the late.
Especially on the road, right?
Especially on the road. But I like this, yeah. Clemson's just been pounding teams. 52-10, 41-6, 52-14. You mix in a 14-point win at Texas A&M in there as well.
Yeah.
Like you said, wagon.
Absolutely wagon. It's interesting that they were 17-point favorites against Texas A&M, and they're only 27-point favorites against Carolina. I know it's a road game, but it just seems like a low number to me.
Yeah. Yeah. And Texas A&M, bit interesting. Tough game against Auburn last weekend.
Uh-huh.
So, will be interesting to follow them. A little bit of a side note, but I always like following the Power Five conferences around. So
for sure,
it seemed like Texas A&M. Maybe right. we'll talk about them later.
Maybe. All right, you're up.
My pick of the week. We are going Vanderbilt versus Northern Illinois. Vandy is -6.5. I like Vanderbilt. I'm going to give the points here. I know it sounds crazy, but Vandy has just been put through the absolute ringer to start the season, playing Georgia and LSU, as well as mixing in road date at Purdue. Have not gone so well for them. They're 0-3 right now. But what I do like about this team, they have been able to put up some points. They put up 24 against Purdue, most recently 38 against LSU.
That's a lot against LSU. I think that's more than Texas put up against LSU.
Yeah, 38 points, and they still lost by pretty much four touchdowns. So tough one. So that's the thing that scares me. They really can't stop the points coming in. They gave up 30 to Georgia, 42 to Purdue, 66 to Joe Burrow in LSU. Joe Burrow looking like could be a Heisman candidate. Absolutely electric start to the season.
If that's the case, do you like the total in this game too?
The total. So I'm not I'm not convinced on the total. I prefer Vanderbilt just because Northern Illinois cannot score at all.
Oh, that's fair, then.
So they rank 123rd in the FBS in scoring offense and 110th in total offense. As well, on the defensive side, they've given up 35 points and 44 points in their last two to Utah and Nebraska, who are not offensive powerhouses by any means. Vanderbilt has a graduate transfer quarterback, Riley Neal. Has he looked spectacular? Has he looked like he's a Heisman candidate? Absolutely not. But he's looked a lot more comfortable as the weeks have gone on. I know you and I both like watching SEC football, so I have seen some of Neal play. He's getting the ball out quick, managing games. The offensive line is pretty banged up, but I think he's done a good job. I think it's just going to keep rolling. NIU, I don't see them scoring. Vanderbilt, I do see them scoring. So I like the cover here, 6.5 points.
I like that too, actually. That game wasn't even on my radar, but that sounds like a really good bet.
It's a terrible game.
Oh,
right?
It's awful. I'm never going to watch
it. Yeah. But, you know, those
push
are
notification when it's over.
But yeah. Those are generally the games with a lot of value, right? Yeah. The ones that aren't really looked at, that won't be watched by a ton of people.
For sure. I mean, it's interesting that an SEC school, obviously, like you said, they carry an 0-3 record, but it's interesting that an SEC school gets a MAC school that's 1-2, and they're only you can get them for less than a touchdown. Like, to me, that just seems almost like a lock, right?
Yeah.
So it'll be interesting.
I love it. Love it.
And it's in Tennessee as well.
Yeah.
So
it is.
All the things lead me to believe that number is a little bit off. My next one, I got Jags +3. I actually kind of like Jags money line here more. You're not going to get that much more value. They're playing against, let me pull this up. I've got my games mixed up here.
Playing the Broncos.
Thank you. Yeah, I think the Broncos are trash.
They are trash.
It's not even a thought. It's like a confirmation.
If I could, I would take back my take on the Broncos.
That was a tough one. That's not looking good.
I expected Joe Flacco to be better.
It's different than the Carolina one because Cam Newton gets hurt, right? So your bet, it's not what you would expect, but Denver hasn't had any injuries, I know going to Denver, like historically, Denver's record in September in Denver is excellent. I think Chicago was one of the first teams to beat them in September, in Denver in a long time. But I really just don't think they're a good football team. And I still have faith that the Jags are a good football team. I think the Jags, they're 1-2. They lost to the Chiefs in Week 1. And after Minshew came in, they played the Chiefs okay. And then they lost to the Texans by 1. And the Texans look like a pretty good football team, right? And they're a 2-point conversion away from winning that game.
Yep.
They decided to go for it, and I respect the call by Doug Marrone.
Doug Marrone. Insane.
Don't like it. As a Bills fan,
yeah.
Quits on teams. And then they handled the Titans last week. They're going to have extra rest from a Thursday night game. I don't think the travel will be too much of an issue. I just think that, like, Jags money line here or +3, whatever you fancy, I'll probably take the money line. It seems right to me.
One of the most surprising aspects of the start of the NFL season to me has been the Denver defense. How many sacks do the Denver defense
zero. Have? I know it's zero.
Zero. Yeah, how many interceptions do they have?
Zero.
Zero. How many fumble recoveries do they have?
Zero.
Zero.
And the turnovers to me aren't as big of a concern because there is a large aspect of turnovers that are random.
Yes, fair enough.
But sacks aren't random, right? Sacks are based on like talented defensive scheme. And they have two of the best pass rushers in the league between, I mean, Bradley Chubb is maybe not necessarily one of the best pass rushers in the league yet, but he is had an excellent rookie campaign. We all know what Von Miller does. Von Miller's a Hall of Famer. So for those two guys on their own not to have sacks is one thing, but for nobody else to also contribute, it's crazy. I don't think that this will be the week where they break through. The Jags don't necessarily bolster the best offensive line in the NFL, but the game plan with Minshew last week was getting the ball out fairly quickly. He's very good on his feet. He can improvise very well. I'm not going to come out and predict that they're not going to get a sack for a fourth week in a row, but I'm also not going to say that things are going to turn around and that defense is going to be a world beater out of nowhere.
Yeah. Like you said, Gardner Minshew definitely looked very comfortable in the Jacksonville offense. I don't think the Jacksonville record really does justice to what they've done. So
they played
far.
Two contenders, right? Yep. And they lost to one of them by a 2-point conversion that was failed.
Very fair. Yeah, I like it. I actually think there's a lot of value on the money line plus 155. You know, if you're taking the spread's up to a plus 105 right now on the bookie that we use. So I like it. I like straight up money line.
Yeah, money line to me is the play. All right, over to you.
I'm going to go to Gardner Minshew's alma mater. I'm going Washington State plus 6. I haven't decided if I'm going to take the money line on this yet. Washington State plus 6 at Utah this week. One of the wildest stories from college football so far this year has been Anthony Gordon, who might actually be a top 5 Heisman candidate if the season ended today, which is insane to think about. He was on no one's radar going into the season. He's still not listed under most bookies as like a top 30 Heisman candidate. But guy threw for 9 TDs last week against UCLA. Now, mind you, we finally rip UCLA.
Yeah. Dorian, my boy, DTR. Talked about this podcast multiple times. Almost doubles his career passing. That's sarcastic. But 500 yards passing.
It was insane.
Unbelievable.
It was the game that you and I have been waiting for this guy to have.
For 2 years now.
So Washington State blew a 32-point lead last week, which is tough. Like
especially to a bad football team like UCLA.
Yeah. But fifth-year senior, like I said, 9 touchdown passes. Still lose the game. So far this season, through 4 games, Gordon, 21 touchdowns to 4 interceptions. Already almost 1,900 passing yards, which is insane. All with a 75% completion percentage, which I think the offense really like molds well around this guy.
It's a Mike Leach offense too. Yeah. Like they churn guys out. Like Luke Falk, who's playing for the Jets right now, was also a dark horse Heisman candidate the year before Minshew was there. Yeah. Like this would be their third guy in a row that's just dominating offensive points.
For sure. So both teams coming off tough losses. Utah with the loss to USC last week. In terms of the Washington State defense giving up 67 points to UCLA, I see it as an abnormality. You look at what happened second half of last year. You look at the start of this season. It's just not going to happen again. And I really don't see this Washington State offense slowing down.
They'll be motivated too.
They will be motivated for sure. I think that this is a huge game in terms of how the Pac-12 could end up at the end of the year. Yeah. You and I were talking last week. We think that I don't want to speak for you, but the way we were talking, we think Utah might have been the Pac-12's only chance to get to the college football playoff. They might have blown it last week.
Well, if they weren't, Washington State was the other team. Yeah. And now with the loss to UCLA, like the Pac-12 has eliminated themselves unless Cal can somehow
run the table, which I don't see happening in a super competitive North Division, at least. So I really like this number plus 6. I know they're on the road getting almost a touchdown. I think I'm probably going to end up taking the money line up plus 180. I really believe in this Anthony Gordon kid. I've watched some highlights of what he can do. The kid is unbelievable.
I watched their game against Houston, and he looked like really good.
Yeah. So that's what I'm going with, plus 6.
I like that pick. Okay, my last one is I like under in the Giants-Redskins game. It's actually climbed from 46 to 49.5, and which seems like just like a lot of points for these two teams. The Redskins, we all saw what the Redskins were like on Monday. Now they're going to have short rest, and the Giants aren't going to have Saquon Barkley. Daniel Jones looked excellent in week 1. I'll be the first to admit it, but I think everybody's got to kind of take their foot off the gas a little bit on the hype train.
RIP to my fantasy team, Saquon going down.
Yeah, I have him too. Tough. I have him as well. RIP. But the Giants are still the Giants, right? Like huge comeback against the Buccaneers. Awesome. Bucs aren't a great football team. Should have won too. Had a 34-yard field goal. Like if they make that field goal, we're talking about the Giants in an entire different tone this week. But I don't think either team is really going to score that many points, especially not Washington. And 49.5, Washington might score 10 points in the game, right? I can't see the Giants putting up 40 points on their own, right? Washington's offense is bad. I just think that number is too high for me. If you had asked me what that number was and I hadn't seen it, I would have put it at 42. So that's my barometer.
Divisional game, right? Mm-hmm. Like, I think those games always come down to the wire, especially in the NFC East. These teams like beating themselves or beating each other to the ground. So mm-hmm. I like that. I'm not quite bought into the Daniel Jones hype. He played great. Was a fantastic football game. But
great comeback, not taking anything away from him, but we all got to ease off and remember that they were the Buccaneers. And again, Buccaneers should have won that football game.
Buccaneers definitely should have won that football game, which, like you said, is saying something. Not a great football team.
Yeah.
I am going to the Miami Dolphins San Diego Chargers game. I love the over 44 in this game. As a Miami Dolphins fan, I did sit through another Miami Dolphins defeat last week.
You sat through three now?
I have sat through three.
That's crazy.
It's pretty impressive. Like, I'm kind of impressed with myself. But the scoreline of last week's game, we lost 31-6, did not reflect at all how Josh Rosen played and how we played as a team. We should have had a lead going into halftime. Gave up 10 first half points, kicked a couple field goals, but we also had a dropped pass in the end zone, led to 0 points. On the second foot, like, he had it in his hands, came down with 1 foot, dropped it on the second one. What are you doing? What are you doing, Preston Williams?
Yeah.
And Kenyon Drake fumbled on the Dallas 8-yard line. So no points here as well.
That guy's kind of a fumble problem.
It's become an issue. It's not good. I'm a big Kenyon Drake guy because I'm an Alabama fan.
Yeah.
But it's
he's always had a little bit of a fumble problem though, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which I think is partially why he never really played full string at Alabama, mind you.
Yeah.
It's Alabama. RBU, right?
There's a stable of good
just
backs
large individuals playing running back for Alabama.
For sure.
So, you know, should have been up at halftime. 14 points, 13 points. But the defense is still atrocious. And without Minkah Fitzpatrick back there, it's just even worse.
Instant impact for Minkah and for the
impact.
Steelers as well.
So. I like to see it. You know, as an Alabama fan, I like to see it.
Yeah, you can't blame Minkah for poor management.
We are getting absolutely no pressure on the quarterback whatsoever. Dak could have had afternoon tea back there, finding Amari Cooper in the end zone numerous times. Now you got to go against Phillip Rivers, who's notoriously strong at picking apart defenses when he's got time. I think the Chargers are going to score a lot of points. The difference is I think Miami is going to be able to keep up. I don't think the Chargers' defense is as good as Dallas's defense. Dallas looked really solid this year.
Yeah, well, I mean, Derwin James out too. Still, he's kind of the backbone of that defense, right? So I agree with that.
I just think it's not enough. I'm not confident enough that Phillip Rivers is going to shred us enough to take the spread, which is around 16. Like, still a lot of points.
It's actually gone down. It opened to 16.5 and it's at 15.5.
Is that
15.5
now?
I'm with you. I mean, I'm just not going to touch that spread.
But I do like the over. I like the over. That's 11 points a quarter. That's not much.
Yeah, that's pretty solid. I like that. I'm with you on that. I like, so in our, we got the survivor pool at work. So we have six entries and we just kind of group think them. We've got the Chargers in two this week. We've got the Rams in two this week. We've got Indy in one actually at home against the Raiders. And then we've got one on the Chiefs. We still have all six of ours through 3 weeks, which
that's
is pretty
impressive.
Good. It's been
a pretty
chalky season.
It has been chalky. Is it just straight up?
Yeah. Okay. It's just pick the winner. But once you pick that team, you can't pick it again. So we have six entries, so we can pick concurrently. Like if we pick the Patriots in one, we can still pick them in the other five. We just can't pick them in that one.
And you decided you weren't just going to pick against the Dolphins schedule and then find weeks where
that's
they
have
to play the AFC.
So we've already used all our Patriots picks between the Jets game and the Dolphins game.
Yeah.
But we stream at least one team that plays the Dolphins every week.
Yeah.
So it's the Chargers this week.
I mean, I'm okay to say it. This is the worst roster that has been put together by a non-expansion team in NFL history.
Oh, absolutely. And it's getting worse because they're trading guys.
Yeah.
There might be more guys that go.
Tough.
So,
but you know what? I'm still going to watch the games.
Yeah. Well, good for you.
Football is
not. Football is family.
Football is family, perhaps.
Football is family.
You got anything else?
No, that's all I got.
I think this was good. I think we got some good picks this week. I'm excited.
Me too. Me too. Yeah. Good mix of college and pros.
Yeah. Electric. All right, everyone. Thanks for tuning in. We will see you next week on Hot Takes Only. And remember, football is family.